to focus on Jesus and to remember him, remember his sacrifice for us. I want us to think about the concept of contentment. You know, the Bible tells us to be content in this life, be content with what we have. And I think that can be hard. I think especially in our culture, that's not something that is popular. It's not something that is taught necessarily. In fact, our culture is the culture of more. It's the culture of better. It's the culture of new. More stuff, better stuff, fancier stuff. That's what we see in advertising. That's what we see if you're on social media. We're bombarded with this complete opposite notion of contentment. We're bombarded with the idea of more, always wanting more, not being happy with what we have. So it can be hard, I think, to be content, but that's what we're told to do as Christians. We're taught to be content, to have contentment. If this was a classroom setting, I might ask somebody to raise their hand and tell me what contentment means to them, but I won't put anybody on the spot and do that today. But I would ask you to think about that for a moment. Think about when you hear the word content or you hear the word contentment, you know, what do you envision? What do you think of? What do those words mean to you? Maybe you imagine sitting on a beach, perfectly relaxed, everything you need right there, no worries at all. Maybe you think about being in a really nice house, plenty of creature comforts. Or maybe you're not quite that materialistic. Maybe you think about being surrounded by your family and your friends and your loved ones, completely at peace, completely content. Whatever it is that you picture, I think we're probably all in common in this regard, that it's a peaceful imagining. To be content is to be at peace, to need nothing, to want for nothing. Peace without worry. So I tried to look up the definition of content in Webster's, and what I got instead was a definition of content, which is a different word. I finally found a definition of contentment. And so this is what I would call the worldly idea. Feeling or showing satisfaction with one's possessions, one's status, or one's situation. And that's kind of consistent with the imagery that I put forth, of the idea of having all the stuff I need, having achieved what I think I should achieve in this life. That's kind of the contentment that I think is a worldly idea. But as with most things, we have a worldly concept, and then we have a spiritual, biblical concept. So what's the biblical concept of contentment? We see it fairly often in the Bible. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, "But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." So this scripture would indicate doesn't take much to be content. Food and clothing, all you need. Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in, to be content." So in the Philippian letter, Paul suggests that no matter what situation, we should be content. Again, 1 Timothy 6:6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." So these ideas seem to be very different from a worldly idea of contentment. These seem to have very little to do with, if anything, to do with possessions or status, things of that nature. In fact, the scripture seems to be teaching us that as Christians, we are to have contentment no matter what, no matter what we're dealing with, whether it's everything's great or everything's terrible. It seems to be what it's saying. So how do we do that? Why should we do that? Why should we be that way? I think the answer to that is partially found in Hebrews 13, verse 5. "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So I didn't emphasize the right word there. Let me do that again. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For, there's the why, there's the how. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we should be content with whatever our worldly circumstances are, because they kind of don't matter. They're worldly. They're temporary. We serve a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. We also serve a risen Savior who showed us an example of contentment. Jesus was content with his conditions. He was content with the traveling he had to do. He was content to deal with the persecution. But most importantly, in my opinion, he was content to simply do the will of the Father. He had his contentment in doing that because he trusted the will of the Father. Jesus was content to let Judas betray him, even though he could have stopped him. Jesus was content to allow himself to be captured, even though he could have called legions of angels to fight for him and protect him. He was content to go to the cross, knowing the anguish and the pain that awaited him there. But it doesn't mean we won't have sorrow. It doesn't mean that we still won't face hardships. Look at, let's turn please to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and I'll read verses 38 and 39. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, this is his contentment. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but you will." And I think that that is the picture of Jesus showing us the contentment we are to have. Doesn't mean that you won't have sorrow. He was sorrow. He had great sorrow. He had anguish. He didn't want to have to go to the cross. He knew what that was going to be. He prayed, "Let this cup pass from me if it be possible. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours." And because he did that for us, therein lies our contentment. We can be content knowing as Christians that our lives on this earth, no matter what we're dealing with, they're ultimately leading to the home in heaven. And that's how we have that contentment. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It's a battle. But we know we have that. Now, certainly there are other reasons. I could probably do a whole other lesson on the idea of how blessed we are in this country, how much we have, possessions, food, clothing. I try to get that message across to my kids. It's kind of hard for them to really appreciate how blessed they are, and that because of that, we should have contentment in that regard. But we could lose all that tomorrow. I know people in Florida right now that have lost a lot. I know people in Eastern Kentucky that in July lost everything. That can happen to every one of us. We could lose all our possessions. We could even lose our freedoms. But even then, we still are to be content. And we can be because of what Jesus did for us. We can have that contentment because of his sacrifice. And that's what we memorialize today. That's what we memorialize every Sunday when we partake of these emblems. His sacrifice that he gave for us. He did the hard part already. He's already cleared the path for us. He waits there for us. So as we partake today, I'd ask you just to contemplate that. I have to look in the mirror on that. How am I doing with being content? How am I doing at having that peace that only comes from just complete and total trust in God? Jesus had complete and total trust in God. That allowed him to have peace and simply do his will. And that's what we should do. So let's think on these things. I'll offer a prayer for the bread at this time. Our holy God in heaven, Lord, we are so grateful to be here today, grateful you allow us to gather as a family of Christians, a family of your children. And Lord, this time we reflect on Jesus and his gift that he gave to us, the gift of salvation by being willing to suffer and die for us. Lord, as we partake of the bread this time, we know that to Christians, this represents his body that was so badly beaten and broken. Help us to reflect on that. Help us to reflect on ourselves and partake in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we also at this time partake of the fruit of the vine that reminds us of the blood that was spilled for our sins and the blood that cleanses us, the blood that saves us. Thank you, Father, for this sacrifice. Thank you for this time we have to come together and remember Jesus together. Pray, Father, that we do this as well in a worthy manner, pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.